You have your Bibles this morning. I ask that you turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13, verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Father, we thank you for your precious word and how we thank you for this parable, for in my life it has meant so much. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of God and enable us to preach as never before. Father, I pray if there'd be souls today that have never made you Savior, your Son, Jesus, Savior, that today would be the day that they would call upon the name of Jesus, confessing and repenting of their sins. And Lord, I know whoever comes to you, you will in no wise cast them out. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Give someone that faith today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, in this chapter, we see the fundamental information. Jesus was in the house. He left the house and went towards the seashore, and multitudes followed him. He got on board a ship and he sat down, and the multitude stood by the seashore and he taught them. First of all, he gave them the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow. The sower represents Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He sowed the seed, which represents the Word of God. And it found four different kinds of soil. We've said before that in this church there are four sections. Sections 1, 2, 3, and 4. May they all represent a field. The sower goes out and sows the seed, and some of the seed fell by the wayside. The soil was hard. It was compact. It was like a pathway between these different sections of pews, like an aisleway. And that is the heart that those have rejected Jesus Christ. The second kind of soil was the stony soil that had grudges and hardships within it. And it quickly sprang up and sprouted, but it quickly withered out when the hardships and the tribulations came, because it had no depth and it was not rooted in the right thing. The third kind of soil was the soil where the seed came up, but it was choked out by the thorns, by the cares and the concerns of this world. Three of those four kinds of soil are evil or wicked or not good. But the fourth soil was the choice soil, the good soil, which took the seed of the Word of God and it came up and it bore fruit. What a precious parable. Jesus is telling us three out of four soils of the heart are bad. Second of all, he gave the parable of the wheat and the tares. He went out and sowed wheat in his field. But the servants, while they slumbered and slept, the enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat. They came up together. They were planted almost simultaneously. They progressed together. And the servants came and said, "Master, there are tares in the field. Would you want us to pull the tares up?" The master said, "No. Let them grow together. For if you pull the tares up, it will also pull the good wheat out." And it is true that we are intermingled and intertwined in our lives. Good and evil, amen. Righteous and wrong, it is true. And so he said, what we'll do is when the harvest comes, when the angels come and the harvest comes, the wheat will be bound and it will be blessed and put in the barn, and the tares will be bound and will be burned. Parable of the wheat and the tares. Then he gave us, thirdly, the next parable was the parable of the mustard seed. And we know that the mustard seed, it was planted. It's the least of all the herbs. It grew quickly. We know it's the least of all seeds. It can grow 12 to 15 feet in 1 year. And the Bible says that the herb became a tree and grew branches. It's abnormal. The birds of the air lodge there. They've come to take the seed away. They don't want the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. They want the church to become a social scene. Amen? And that's the scary thing about the mustard seed. It became something it was never meant to be. Then fourthly, he gave the parable of the leaven. You remember that story, how a woman, she took a little leaven and hid it in 3 measures of meal. And we know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And the devil wants false doctrine and false living in our churches. That's what he wants. You will notice that Jesus gave those parables, and then he went back to the house. And his disciples followed him back to the house. And they said, explain to us the meaning of the parable of the wheat and the tares. It's interesting to me that when Jesus gave those first 4 parables, he gave them to the crowds, to the populace, small and great, and he gave it to believers and unbelievers. But for these last 3 parables, only the disciples, those that followed by faith, followed him back to the house, and he declared these truths unto them. In other words, what Jesus is saying, these first 4 parables represent things you're going to see in the age in which you live. But these last 3 parables are going to be those things that you will see or be revealed to you by faith. The first parable he explained to them in the house was the parable of the treasure hidden in the field. Where a man came to the field, he found treasure in the field, and he hid it, and he went and bought the field. Preacher, don't understand, what does that mean? The hidden treasure is Israel. Jesus planted Israel in the field of the world to be a blessing to the nations of the world. When Jesus came, full of glory and truth, he came unto his own. He showed them what the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of glory would be like, and Israel said, no, thank you. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So he just covered them back up in the field and put them right back out in the middle of this old world. Then he went and sold all that he had, and what did he do? He bought the field. He didn't just buy the treasure. He bought the field, amen? Praise God. And I know this, that if he bought the field, he owns the treasure. And one day he's coming to claim that which is his. We've come now to this 6th parable. It is a parable of a merchant man who is seeking goodly pearls. And when he found that one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had that he might purchase it. That's the fundamental information. Now, second of all, let's guard against a false interpretation. Preacher Darren, what do you mean? Many people believe or teach that Jesus is the pearl of great price. And that is true that he is very valuable, but he's not the pearl of great price. Preacher Darren, why is he not the pearl of great price? Well, if that were true, then the merchant man would be the sinner who comes and finds that one pearl and sells all that he has to buy Jesus. That's false theology. You cannot purchase salvation. Nowhere in the Word of God is it taught that a sinner can purchase salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a gift. Also know this, a sinner is not seeking Jesus. You may say, Preacher Darren, I was seeking the Lord. No, he was seeking you first. When Adam sinned, it was God that came seeking Adam in the cool of the day and said, where art thou? And in fact, a sinner has nothing to pay to start with. He is dead in trespasses and in sins. All that a sinner has is filthy rags. His righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing that you can do. That is a false interpreted gospel if you teach that Jesus is the pearl of great price. Preacher, what is the right interpretation? Well, to me, thirdly, it is a fascinating illustration. Here is a merchant man. He's on a journey. He is seeking fine, goodly, valuable pearls. And one day, he finds the most glorious, magnificent, beautiful gem that he's ever seen. It is perfectly formed, and it is beautifully colored. And he says, that's what I have been looking for. And he gives everything that he has that he might purchase that one pearl. Now, this morning, I brought with me a symbol of an oyster. And I want to take this oyster, and I want to open this oyster up, and inside that oyster, you're going to find a pearl.
Now all other gems are mined from the earth. You will find gold from the earth, silver from the earth. But a pearl is something that happens naturally to an oyster. Now I want to say this and I'll try to move away from it. What gives the pearl its value is how it's formed, how it's made. It's a fascinating illustration. And I want you to see this pearl that I have right here in my hand, okay? For those of you who are watching on internet, you can see this. For on radio, just imagine it with me, okay? What a pearl looks like. First of all, I want you to think about the word grit. What happens to this oyster is that a piece of sand, a foreign object, something that is impure, something that is hurtful or harmful, penetrates the shell of this oyster and gets into its flesh and wounds it. It actually cuts or causes harm to come to that oyster. When that grit gets in there, it begins to cut away and hurts the oyster. And what the oyster does is it reacts to this wounding, to this foreign object, to this grit, if you will, and it secretes a substance called nacre. And this nacre quickly covers this grain of sand, this grit, if you will, layer by layer of layer. Grit. Second of all, the word glory. Over the period of 3 to 7 years, the layers, one by one, having been covered to that grit, now has a beautiful covering on that piece of grain of sand or on that grit. That covering is what is known now as a pearl. It is something beautiful that has covered something ugly. It is something glorious that has been made out of something that is hurtful or something that is harmful. Then I think about the word grace. The way a pearl is formed is a beautiful picture of our salvation. My sin was the irritant. My sin was the impurity. Your sin and my sin was the ugly, harmful, hurtful grain of sand, the grit that wounded our Savior. He took upon Himself our sin, my sin, and your sin on Calvary's cross. And what did Jesus do? When He took upon Himself our sin, He secreted a substance called the blood. And the blood covered my sin and your sin. We know that out when He was pierced, out from His side came water, and out from His side came blood. And I want to say there's something else come out. It's called love. Love has covered a multitude of our sins. To me this morning, the pearl is a simple emblem of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see that pearl? It's gone from grit to glory by grace. Hey, that's your story, and that's my story. We've gone from sin to salvation by the grace of Almighty God. In fact, the pearl has gone from depths to heights. This oyster was laying at the bottom of the sea, and the diver came and saw the oyster and the pearl that was within and lifted it from the quagmire of sin, from the muck and the mire, from the horrible pit, and brought it up out of that water and freed it, opened it up, and now it's a glorious pearl and has put it upon the crown of the King. You, the church, are the pearl that's on the crown of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've gone from grit to glory. We've gone from depths unto heights. I say hallelujah to God this morning, church. In fact, we were in bondage, but we've gone from bondage to liberty. We've gone from captivity to freedom. I say hallelujah to God for that. In fact, I want to hit one more. We've gone from darkness to light. It's one of the darkest places to be, at the bottom of the sea. Without hope and without God, a stranger away from Him. But He came to where you and I were. And when He lifted us, He brought us out of darkness. Listen, There's only one thing darker than the depths of the sea. It is the heart of an unbeliever. But he comes to that heart to lift you out of darkness and to shed his magnificent light upon your life. Oh, what a fascinating illustration he gave to the Jews here, because in this point in time, the Jews do not value pearls. Fourthly, I want you to see a faithful inspiration. Here is a merchant man, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He's seeking goodly pearls. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's seeking you this morning. Right now, the merchant man is right in this place seeking you this morning. He seeks you by radio. He seeks you by internet. He seeks you this morning in the house of God. Preacher Darren, how does he seek me? He seeks you by his Spirit. He has sent his Holy Spirit to draw you unto himself. He seeks you by his Scriptures. The Word of God tells us how much he loves us. There is a diver. Let me give you a true story. There was a diver at the depths of the sea who found a bottle that had a cork in it. And he brought that up out of the water and he uncorked it, and inside the cork was a page of Holy Scriptures. He couldn't believe it. He sat down and began to read John 3:16. And he said, "If the love of God would follow me to the depths of the seas, I will give my heart to him." And he got saved. Hey, Jesus, the merchant man, is seeking goodly pearls through his Spirit, through his Scripture, through his servants. He sent me to preach to you today to tell you about your sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you say, "Preacher Darren, that's not me," friend, you're not telling the truth. He knows about your sin, and the wages of sin is death. You're on your way to hell, but you don't have to be, for he shed his blood that you might be saved. And if you'll just come to him and call on him, he would save you right where you are today. Let me say this. He's seeking you through your sickness. Sometimes sickness, the Lord allows it to come to get you to seek him, to get you to turn to him. Maybe he seeks you through your suffering, or he seeks you through your sorrow. He this morning is seeking the goodly pearls. And I want to say to you that he's found it. He's found his pearl this morning. The Bible says that he found one pearl of great price. Fifthly, and I'm done, we see the fulfilling investigation. When he was seeking those goodly pearls, he found one pearl of great price. Just one. Let me tell you what. He's looking for you today, and he's found that one individual. You may be small. You may be insignificant. You may feel like you're a big nothing. But to Jesus, he gave everything that he had that you might be saved. I think this morning of the price that our Savior paid. Listen. How was the pearl formed? By our sin, right? By our sin, it's grit. Listen to this verse in Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus said in Gethsemane, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." What was that cup talking about? That cup was not just talking about a physical death, but it was speaking of the fact that he was going to drink of the cup which contained your sin and my sin. Lying lips were in that cup. Lustful thoughts were in that cup. Lascivious living was in that cup. Your murder, your anger, your perversion, your pornography, your gambling, your drinking, your cursing, all of that was in that cup. He that knew no sin partook of your sin that you might be forgiven. He took upon himself my shame, my suffering, my separation, my sin. He took it all that I might be saved. And when he found that one pearl, now realize the church collectively is one. But it also represents one as an individual. When he found that one, that very one he was looking for, the Bible said that he gave all that he had and sold it that he might buy that one pearl. The Bible says we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we're redeemed by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The most valuable of pearls has no blemish. Listen, Jesus has got you today. You may be a Christian and you've ventured off into sin again. You need to get in this altar and say, Lord, would you polish on me again? Lord, would you shine me up for the glory of God? And it could be said that a pearl, I can see myself in it, to tell you the truth. After it's been polished just right, amen. The Father, Jesus can see himself, amen, in your life. So not only does it reflect light, but it absorbs light. Did you know pearls will absorb light and let light go through them to the other side? Woo-wee! If we are the pearl, we have absorbed the light of Jesus Christ, and his light shines through us to others. Hallelujah. Did you know this pearl, if you were to take it and grind it up, you could crush it? It would be nothing but limestone. That's all it is. In fact, you could quickly ruin it. It's really not that valuable. Hey, he doesn't love me because I'm valuable. I'm valuable because he loves me. Woo! I'm in love with my Savior. He's in love with me. Amen. Hear me this morning. You can cut a diamond. You can cut these other jewels, but you cannot cut a pearl. You'll ruin it quickly. But she can be polished for the glory of God. And he said one day he's going to present it to himself that it'd be without spot and without wrinkle. And I want to close with this. I'm done. Revelation 21 speaks about a place called heaven, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, which is the abode or the dwelling place of the church. And the Bible says in that city there are 12 gates, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the east, 3 on the west. And every several gate was one pearl. Pearly gates to that city. I don't even know that they have hinges. Jesus just said, get up. There they stand. And the Bible said those pearly gates are open. Preacher, what does that say? If the pearl represents the church, and it does, what he's saying is, welcome home. Hallelujah to God. A preacher there, and I've heard about cultured pearls. That's true. They take a long time to make them as well, but they're not the real thing. Preacher Darren, I've heard that there are imitation pearls made out of glass. That's true, but they're not the real thing. It's just a forgery. I wonder if there's people that said under the sound of my voice today, you're just a forgery. You're just counterfeit because you never came through the blood. Yes, the grit, the sand, the grain, the ugliness, the harmfulness, the hurtfulness, that's you. But you never came through the blood. You're going to have to come through Jesus Christ, sir. That's the only way you're ever going to get to heaven. You may say, Preacher Darren, you said a pearl's not very valuable. It's not. But it's valued because the merchant man loves it and gives all that he has that he might obtain it. I wonder this morning, here you are this morning, Christian, you've messed up again. You've made mistakes. You've sinned against him. Preacher Darren, I want to absorb the light. I want the light to go through me to others. But I can't do it living this way. Why don't you come this altar this morning and say, Lord, I just want you to polish on me. Maybe there's somebody here ought to say, Lord, I want to thank you for rescuing me from the depths of the muck and the mire of the sea and pulling me out and saving my soul and giving me light. Lord, I want to thank you for what you've done. Would you come this morning? Would you come? It is true that each of these parables, chronologically, line right up with the seven churches in Revelation. This one would be the church at Philadelphia, which is the church of love with the open door, and we have open pearly gates. I'm glad this morning the throne is open for by Almighty God for us to come and pray together and call on His name. Would you come? We're going to pray this morning. Who needs to come? Preacher Darren, I want to thank Him. I've got so much to thank Him for. Would you come? Would you come? I was just old grit that harmed my Savior, but He covered me by His grace and made me something glorious. He took your, you think about it, He took your sin and did something glorious in your life when you did absolutely nothing but mess up. Hallelujah. Folks are still coming in obedience. Would you come this morning? Folks still moving. Still moving. Father, how we thank You for the truths of the Word of God, for the pearl of great price, that Jesus, that great merchantman from heaven, left the splendor of glory, descended to this old earth. Lord, where we were grit, where we were ugly, hurtful and harmful, sinful, but He took upon Himself, was wounded by my sin, and Lord, You secreted the blood. You shed Your blood that I might be forgiven. You shed Your blood that I might be covered. And Your blood, layer upon layer, has made me something glorious. The pearl of great price has been formed. And now that pearl belongs to You, Jesus. And it's going to be in Your crown, in the diadem of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, one day when we get to heaven and we see those pearly gates open, I want to shout one extra time to say, thank You for the truths of the Word of God that were leading me and guiding me home. Thank You that You took me from grit to glory by grace. Thank You that You took me from darkness to light. Thank You that You took me from the depths of sin to the heights of salvation. Lord, I ask Your blessing now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.